Welcome back to another episode of Exiled Strangers. Remember, if you want to sign up for a testimony, if you want to give your testimony completely anonymously, sorry, y'all can't talk, took a week off, now I can't talk. But if you want to give your testimony completely anonymously, shoot us an email at exiledstrangers@proton.me. That's exiledstrangers@proton.me. Today we're going to be getting into how to approach, the way to believers and non-believers, or what they think are, you know, believers and non-believers. How you doing, nobody?
All right, man. And it's a super important topic, right? Because, you know, just in general, you usually have one chance to make a first impression on someone. Yeah. And especially if you're handling something so important as the truth, right? Like Yah's truth, the truth of everything he's done and put forth, to include sending his prophets and then sending his son. It's like that's a heavy weight. You know, this has to be approached with the right heart posture, you know?
Yeah. You definitely want to make sure that, and I'm speaking about myself more than anything, but you want to make sure you're not the reason that somebody doesn't pursue this. You know what I mean? You don't want to be like a bad example, or like too aggressive, or even too meek, because that can be off-putting to you know, certain men and stuff like that. If it's, you know, if you're like some limp-wristed, blue-haired, purple-breathing person, that could be off-putting to depending on who you're talking to. That could be off-putting. So, like, being the correct representative that Yah wants, is important. Like this past week, I was out of town, and I had the opportunity of discussing this with just like all kinds of people. And each person was a little bit different, but generally the same kind of crowd. And had I been that limp-wristed, you know, super meek person, not in the biblical sense of meek, but in like the worldly sense of meek, then they would have been completely turned off by it. And I'm not saying that I did a fantastic job or anything like that, because looking back, there are definitely places I need to improve, and I have like a list of things that I need to learn myself, just to better prepare me for the argument. And I don't mean argument in like the combative way, but like argument meaning like a discussion of opposing sides.
Right.
Stuff.
Right.
Yeah. I was wishing you were there, man. That's for sure.
Oh, well, like, me too.
My nobody buddy.
Yeah. Well, me too. Just cause like, we have a good time hanging out, and,
for sure.
But on top of that, I think that it went down the way it was supposed to, because I'll be honest, and we've talked about this before, and I'm going to just put this compliment out there in front of the whole world, that Yah, I do believe Yah is raising you up to do wonderful things, and we're growing together, and it's super fun and it's exciting to see. I mean, I was bugging the heck out of you on your way home, cause I wanted to hear what happened, you know, like,
well, praise Yah, first of all,
praise Yah.
But yeah, dude, it was like, oh man. And even like before I went on this trip, my wife was in the grocery store, and I was airing up one of her tires, because I think she has a slow leak in one of the vehicle tires and stuff. And this guy from Church of Christ came up, and this was like, looking back at it, this was the practice round for what I was about to get into while I was out of town. It's just wild how Yah works and how gentle he is, and in certain times, and then how, like, you know, abrupt he will be when it's time to shake things up. But it was like, I got a practice round before I left, and this guy from Church of Christ was like, he was trying to get me to go to his church, and I was like, oh, I attend like an online fellowship and stuff like that. And he's like, well, it's good to be there in person and stuff. And I don't remember how the discussion actually started, but we got into the discussion of like following the law. I think I told him like, oh, we do get together during feast days and everything. Mm-hmm. I think that's how we got into it. And then he was asking about what feast day is, and I was like, well, we didn't get together for Pesach, but like, you know, this fall we'll get together for Sukkot and all that. And then we got into the discussion of like not having to follow that. And it wasn't like we weren't yelling at each other or anything like that. And it was actually funny, because I was like, my wife called me twice during this discussion because she was ready. And then just knowing my wife, like, you know, she immediately was thinking like, oh man, he didn't answer. He's dead. Yeah, he's dead.
An asteroid came out of the sky and punched him right in the face. You know?
Right. Yeah. But I was like telling him, I was like, hey man, I want to continue this discussion. But like my wife called me twice. She's over at that grocery store. She's thinking I'm dead. And then as soon as she gets in the car, she's like, I thought you were dead.
Like, yeah, but that's love right there, man.
She prefaced it with like, I know this is ridiculous, but I thought you were dead. I immediately thought you were dead.
Oh gosh.
But yeah, that was the practice round before going out of town. And at that point, I was already aware of where I need to, like, where I need to improve to build up more of a complete argument. Because, like, yeah, I can throw up the scripture real quick. But literally, like, my go-to, I'll just show you. Like, my go-to is, let me pull it up, is Matthew 5, 17. And it's, like, Yeshua saying, especially with believers, it's Yeshua saying, do not think that I came to destroy the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to complete. For truly I say to you, till the heaven and the earth pass away, one yod or one tittle shall by no means pass from the Torah till all be done. Whoever then breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches men so shall be called least in the reign of the heavens. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the reign of the heavens. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall by no means enter into the reign of the heavens. Now, I didn't even check to see if that was up on screen. Y'all saw that, right?
Yep. We see okay, it just fine.
Cool. That's my go-to. All right. So just to be, you know, fully upfront and everything, I'm a moron and I hit the wrong stop button when I was trying to stop the screen share and I ended up stopping the recording. So, yeah, it probably will be seamless to you guys, but just giving you, you know, full heads up, I got a little excited. But, so, like I was saying, that is my go-to when it comes to people who already believe. Is like, see, even Yeshua was telling us that we're to continue following the law, but there are a few things that I need to, that I've noticed that I need to back up. For one, is like, okay, the definition of righteousness. I need to have the definition of righteousness on lock so we can establish that. And then a definition of what he's meaning by where to go. Till all be done. I can't remember where that was. I did not come destroy it. In no, 18. Okay. One yod or one tittle shall by no means pass from the Torah till all be done. Because every single time, without fail, people will bring up like, oh, the last thing Yeshua said on the cross was it is complete. And and correct me if I'm wrong, but I've been trying to make the argument that like his testimony is complete at that point.
Right. Right. He completed what he was brought, like what he came from the heavens to earth, you know, to do, he completed. And I forget exactly where it's at, but the book of John actually clarifies that really clear. I'll try to find it. But real quick, a great place to go to define righteousness is Deuteronomy 6.
Let me pull that up. Deuteronomy 6.
Yep, last verse, verse 25.
Alrighty. Deuteronomy 6, verse 25. And it is righteousness for us when we guard to do all this command before Yahuwah our Elohim as he has commanded us. Cool. Yep. All right. Let me, so I can commit it to memory, Deuteronomy 6, 25. And it is righteousness for us when we guard to do all this command before Yahuwah our Elohim as he has commanded us. Okay.
Yeah, so and Deuteronomy 6 is such a wonderful chapter because you look, you know, the greatest of the two greatest commands is to love Yahuwah with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and being. And that is literally from Deuteronomy 6, you know. So that gives us the full summary of what our walk should look like to love the Father. And then, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, the second greatest command, which is like the first. and that's Leviticus 19, which gives a summary of the greater sum of the instructions. And I'm totally failing to remember where it is in John. So forgive me. There's 21 chapters in there, so
you're good, buddy.
So I don't remember at the moment, but I'll find that. Another good place to go, though, for defining these terms of righteousness and truth is Psalm 119:142.
Let me pull that up. Psalm 119.
Yeah.
What verse did you say?
Well, 142 kind of gives you both in one verse. Before that, it even talks and describes righteousness a little more. So, yeah.
Let me pull that up so we can look at this together.
And you know, it's
132 or 142?
142. And okay. What's so interesting too is like this was on the reading list when we visited that church. This was, and I was like, oh, this is going to be wonderful because we can talk about all of this that David, you know, clearly defined for us.
What is this word right here? Q-O-P-H.
So it's cough. So the way this is broken down, it's broken down with the Hebrew letters. So, yeah.
Okay. But 142 says, your righteousness is righteousness forever, and your Torah is truth.
Yeah. So using like here a little, there a little, precept on precept, Deuteronomy 6:25 plus Psalm 119:142, we can define this righteousness, define that it's forever. You know what I mean? Just get this string of truth going. And, you know, directly defining truth as the Torah is a really great thing.
Right.
You know, whether people accept it or not, you know, that's a different story. But yeah, it's tough, buddy. Like, it's tough sometimes. And I can speak for myself. Like, I've come away from conversations like, oh, wow, like I screwed that up huge. And
it's same.
The thing that I'm like not taking into account is that I'm not the one doing this work, right? Like we're called to plant seeds and then we're called to occasionally water. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some will sow and some will reap, you know, and Yah is the one that gives the increase. So I would just say, be encouraged. I'm sure that Yah can work with whatever we do in these conversations, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so one of the times that I was having this discussion, I was pretty upset with myself afterwards because I was like, man, I wasn't even kind of prepared for that. I really sucked at that one. And that's not, you know, that I wasn't wrong in that. Like I was not at all prepared for that discussion with somebody who was actually pretty well read in scripture. Like he had way better memory of verses than I did and stuff like that. But I was like praying and repenting that night for just my shortcomings and everything. And then the next day, because Yah's amazing, he showed me that not all debates are for the person that you're debating against or debating with, that there's also a crowd that's watching as well. And that, the next morning, there was one of the guys who was there, like watching the discussion and everything. And he came up to me. He was like, hey, man, you made some really good arguments during that discussion. Like, where can I go to find more? And I was like, well, because I'm not giving myself praise at all when I'm saying this, because I did suck at that. But I think Yah was showing grace and sent that guy to me to show that, hey, like you might not have won that debate, but you know, here's somebody who was watching who did recognize the arguments that you were making and stuff. And I was like, well, one thing, just knowing how this one guy was thinking and stuff and his thought process behind things, I recommended he go to Kingdom in Context and watch some of his debates.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't remember if it was specifically Kingdom in Context when I was first searching this thing out, but I remember watching debates. One thing that I noticed is that everybody who was debating for following the law was using scripture to do so. And everybody who was debating against was using either their interpretation of scripture that was out of context. And without a doubt, almost every single time, they got emotional and started like ad hominem attacks and whatnot, yeah. Which immediately shows that you lost that debate.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, so I agree with you. Watching some of these, I love it when they're like, you know, what's the word that I'm looking for? When they're done in good faith with one another between the two, people debating and they don't use attacks. Right. However, when they do, it just makes it so much more clear because the fruits of the Ruach are coming forward on one side and like fruits of being offended or being, you know, at the end of your argument start happening on the other side and they start just to try to tear down that other person's character, which really stinks because right. Not one of us are perfect, you know, and you know it is what it is, but you know, I would definitely agree with you though that like it's extremely impactful. I love watching these different scriptural debates and discussions, and I've learned a ton from them too, so no doubt the seeds planted just even to the people that witness your guys' discussion was probably, you know, pretty awesome. Yah's probably like, yeah, I can work with that. I can work with that. Perfect. You know?
Yeah, I really hope so. And then I think now is a good time that Colossians 3 verse you were telling me about earlier. Yeah. Like here's the, I guess the heart posture or the way you should be whenever you're approaching these people with this information. Let me share this. Bam. So in Colossians 3, starting at verse 12, therefore, as chosen ones of Elohim, set apart and beloved, put on compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other if anyone has a complaint against another. Indeed, as Messiah forgave you, so also should you. That, and believe it or not, that's almost like the harder battle. While I was out of town, I was with another guy who, you know, follows Torah and all that, and somebody was asking him a question, and I just like completely like interjected and like just word vomited, not because I was trying to like force him to believe. It's just like I got excited.
Yeah,
like I just got excited, and like I ended up apologizing to both of them later, and thankfully neither one of them were offended by it. They just thought it was funny that like immediately like woke up and got excited about it, but I was worried that like I was coming across like almost forceful or angry or something like that. But yeah, and actually one of those guys, the guy that I was talking to that I was excited about, he's trying to join like the online Torah group now, or the online Bible study and all that. So yeah. I guess I wasn't as offensive as I was thinking I was. I just got like excited about it for a second,
dude. And
once I realized what they were talking about.
But that's not only okay, that's awesome. Like Yah loves when his people are zealous for him and his word, you know, and there you go. You showed wonderful fruits by just ensuring that it wasn't taken the wrong way and explaining you didn't mean it the right way or the wrong way, you know. I love like when people get all fired up and they get on one, they just get on one. I love it. You know, I'm like, yeah, let's go.
Oh man.
But
yeah, I would just remember I was like later that day, like looking back, I was like, oh crap, I may have scared that person away.
You know, I think in general, like especially for approaching people we haven't interacted with yet, or you know, for whatever reason, whoever it is, Because there's going to be pushback. There's going to be cognitive dissonance you have to deal with and try to break through, if the conversation even gets that far. And just in general, right, dealing with it from Colossians 3, and it's mentioned other places, but you know, the rule of thumb that I've always followed is with kindness, meekness, and an abundance of patience, you know?
Yeah.
And I have to remind myself of it too. Like even in the midst of these conversations, like, because we're being ambassadors of the master, you know, and that's the hard part, is living up to that calling, you know. It's not easy. And I don't think we can fully live up to it, which I actually like that aspect, because that always gives me place for growth. You know what I mean? I had a leader in the army who told me something that's always stuck with me. He's like, you have to always be a lifetime student. He's like, the second you think you have everything figured out, you fail.
Absolutely.
And that's stuck with me. You know, sometimes I'll be honest. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, I know what I'm doing. You know, I might get it done, or, yep, you know, it might not go so well, but with this specifically, this walk, we're lifetime students. I mean, Enoch even says after the resurrection, the righteous are charged with searching out the extents of righteousness, which
is
amazing.
An insane thing to even comprehend.
Right.
Like that. Yeah. That's amazing. It's like, because on this end of things, it seems like it's you either are or you're not. Like, it doesn't seem like there might be, I don't know. It's just a hard thing for me to comprehend. To search out the extent of righteousness shows that there's like a depth to it versus like a black and white, yes, it is, or no, it's not.
Right. And you know, I think what I mean? Absolutely. And that's what's so exciting, because you think about it and it's like, yeah, at the first resurrection, sin is flushed out of your body. The Torah is written on your heart and your mind, so that no man has to teach his neighbor anymore to know Yahuwah. And that being said, at that point forward, you're still going to be instructed and learning, but you're going to be doing it in righteousness. So you won't ever transgress him again. And I think about that and it's like, man, the Father just has so many wonderful mysteries, and his wisdom is just immeasurable, you know? So the fact that we're just going to be instructed forever. I'm really excited about that.
So one thing that, okay, well, real quick on the being a lifetime student, like a lifelong student, like my day job, that is super, super important to always be a lifetime student, because just as soon as you think you have something figured out, there's somebody who is like, you may or may not know of them. You may like, it all depends, but, like as soon as you think you have something figured out and you're like, yes, this is the perfect way to do something, like then somebody makes an advancement and completely flips the game, like completely changes everything. Like my dad uses the word autodidact a lot, and it refers to somebody who's able to be like self-taught, that you're able to teach yourself a new task or something like that. That doesn't mean you don't have like teachers and stuff. It's just you don't have to go through like mainstream colleges or universities or traditional schooling in order to learn a new task or learn a new system or something like that. But when you are debating, and this, you know, comes across like this applies to all ranges of debates. If you don't know something, just admit it. Like you don't get brownie points for faking as if you know something. And in fact, you'll earn more respect from the other person if you just flat out say, like, you know, I don't know. I don't have the answer for that. But like, I know where to go to find it. It's in scripture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely. Especially with this, right? Because you could, you know, whoever you're speaking with, whether it's a group or just another person, it's like, yeah, well, let's read this together then. you know, like just
right.
The truth is all there.
Right. And that's why I like that Matthew verse so much, is because it's like the ultimate trump card. Cause it's like, okay, with this verse, I don't have to know the details of everything else, as long as we believe that Yeshua is the Messiah and Yah's son. Cause if he said it, then whatever other, like, whether it's Paul, whether it's anybody else, Peter's dream, anything else, all of that does not supersede what the Messiah has said or what our high priest in heaven right now has said.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I like that verse so much. It's because it is like, no matter what argument you come up with against following Torah or following the law, if it's going against following it, then you're in direct disagreement with our Messiah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, that's,
yeah,
that's like the key, I feel like, to unlocking scripture, you know, especially with the dispensational right. move that's happened now. It's like, who do you disciple after? Do you disciple after the Messiah, or do you disciple after Paul? Right. And I'm not saying right. Paul's lawless. I'm saying that he's been misinterpreted, you know?
Right. And then like so this was a verse that I got to use, whenever somebody, and if somebody uses Paul as the argument, and this is thanks to nobody on the other side of the screen for me or with me. But like anytime somebody uses Paul as the argument, just show them this warning from Peter, which I had to do like multiple times. Cause quite frankly, there's a lot that Paul says that I just flat out don't understand, or I have to like sit there and contemplate like each sentence by sentence, just to kind of get maybe the gist. But in end of 2 Peter chapter 3, he ends it by saying, "You then, beloved ones, being forewarned, watch lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the delusion of the lawless." The key words, delusion of the lawless. Yeah. "But grow in favor and knowledge of our Master and Savior Yahushua Messiah. To him be the esteem both now and to a day that abides. Amen." And before that, the verses that I missed, like in 15, well, I guess I should start at 14. My bad. Let's start that over.
Yeah, hit
you
want
to read that, nobody, since I'm all over the place? Bro, or you want to get it, or you want me to?
I'll read it. It's up to you.
Okay. You got it. You got it.
Are you sure?
I'm all over the place.
I feel like you did good, man. I'm over here. Well, I was like,
the important parts given the context.
Yeah, but you just, you know what you did? You gave everybody, you built up that anticipation, you know? It's like, what did he say right before that? All right, so starting at verse 14, it says, "So then, beloved ones, looking forward to this, do your utmost to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and reckon the patience of our Master as deliverance, as also our beloved brother Paul wrote to you, according to the wisdom given to him, as also in all his letters, speaking in them concerning these matters, in which some are hard to understand, which those who are untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do also the other scriptures. You then, beloved ones, being forewarned, watch lest you also," so linking them in with those who are untaught and unstable, "lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the delusion of the lawless, but grow in the favor and knowledge of our Master and Savior, Yahushua the Messiah. To him be the esteem both now and to a day that abides. Amen."
Dude, like, it's steadfastness for now on.
Yeah.
Steadfastness. And I just picture this dude just eating a bowl of ice cream, refusing to quit.
Bro, I've been so good about not eating ice cream. It's been crazy. It's like, you know what I got going on right now. So I've been stressed out, and I'm still avoiding the ice cream. Man, I'm doing that for
you. Dude, if anybody's earned ice cream, it's you.
No, I don't know about that, but I'll tell you what. I don't know. I just, I feel like I just, I feel kind of better not having all that sugar, you know?
What? What? That's craziness.
Dude. Yeah, I know, right?
That's not how our body works.
Bro, that's what I thought. I thought sugar, happy. Okay, happiness. I'm healthy. Okay, healthy. I'm fat. Yeah, perfect. Let's go.
Yep. That's exactly how that works, dude. Like, all you need is sugar and fat, and you're good to go.
All right, well. Yeah. I guess I'm messing up. And you get back ice on my cream, ice cream.
Ice creamitarian right here.
You get back on my ice cream, game.
Dude. It's not good for you. Oh, dude. All right. So we need to. Okay. Here's what we need to do. We need to open up. Okay. The tour of meats. Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then an ice cream parlor attached right next to it.
Bro, I'm in.
There we go. And we can have like a deli in Torah Meats. So we can do like sandwiches and like soups and stuff like that. And then like it's a one-stop shop, dude.
That sounds so good. Like you just, my mouth started watering when I started, for some reason, when you said soup. I don't know why that sounds so good right now. Man.
Soup is one of those things that never sounds good until I'm eating it. And then it's I can't get enough of it. Kind of like fruit. Like with me, it's like fruit is like that. Like I love fruit. It's just never something that I like
seek after.
I don't know. Yeah. But once I start eating fruit, I'm like, why don't I eat more fruit?
Yeah. No, I hear you on that.
Now that's unless I'm like looking at the fruit trees and the fruit trees, like once I see something ripe and then it's like, all right, about half this is going to make it into the basket.
Yeah. That's fair. That's fair, though.
But like at the grocery store, I never put like, unless it's for the baby, I never really put fruit in the cart with the intent of me eating it.
Yeah. I'll tell you, like, yeah. I do like it, like strawberries and blueberries, like that combo right there, all like in a cup together, like super chilly from the refrigerator, you know? That's like one of the best snacks.
Okay, so here's what you got to do with your pear trees is like once they're like about ready to harvest, you wait till like it's a full sunny day and then you wait till like mid to late afternoon, like maybe like 4 or 5 o'clock, let that sun warm up the pear and then you go get the pear and it's like warm and like it feels like it's super sweet and it's like kind of evaporated some of the moisture from the fruit, so it's like even sweeter than it usually is. But it's like almost like pie, but not hot. It's just like a super sweet, warm version, and it tastes even more like pear than a pear usually does. Yeah,
bro, that's what you gotta do right there. That sounds so good. Oh, yeah. Hey, before we get off this topic of these fruits, so strawberry plants are doing excellent. They got a ton of strawberries on them. So much, actually, I need to make sure we're getting them on time, you know, before they get all nasty.
Do you have, are they ever bearing or June bearing?
I think these are June bearing.
Okay.
I know.
Well, that'll make it easier.
I know we're not.
All of it's going to come in within like a month.
Well, they're already doing it. I know that we're not in June yet. But I'm just saying.
Yeah. Not too far though, dude.
Yeah. I feel like we're in the borders of it. But anyways, and my blueberries, man, they're coming in. They're coming in hot. The late freeze this last winter didn't hurt them. I'm like, I'm ready for some blueberries, man.
There you go. And dude, like once strawberries and blueberries, like that's one thing. Like once you start growing it yourself, you can't go back to store-bought either one of those. Because it feels like especially strawberries, I feel like strawberries are the worst. Well, blueberries too. Like the ones you get from the store are like kind of sour and they just don't taste right. They're tart. And then the strawberries, it's like, I don't know. The strawberries from the store are like something that looks like a strawberry and is just filled with water and kind of has a hint of like strawberryness. But once you like start growing it yourself, you're like, oh, this is what a strawberry is supposed to taste like.
Yeah, the fruit is tasting funky from the store. Like, what are those drinks? Okay, there's those carbonated drinks. They're like, the cans look all flavorful, you know? And then you drink it, and it's like, ugh. It's like you have like...
Le Creuset?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, no. You got like seltzer. You got like seltzer water with like a strawberry farted on it. You know, it's like you don't get...
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
LaCroix. I don't know where I got Le Creuset from. I don't even know what that word is. But LaCroix. That's it.
Yeah.
LaCroix cans. I don't think Bubbly. I think there's another brand called Bubbly.
I just don't think they should exist. But anyways. every time, because it'll be all cold. I'll see it. I'll be like at someone's house and I'm like, hey, if you want something to drink, you know, go out to the fridge, you know, in the garage or whatever. And it's like this can and it's condensating and it looks so good. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And there's fruit on there. It's going to be so yummy. And then I open it up and I drink it. I'm like, I wish I didn't even like smell this. It's a tease. Oh.
Have you tried those Spindrifts?
No.
It's like carbonated water and, but plus like fruit juice. Those are pretty good. Like, especially if you're trying to get off soda or something.
Yeah.
Like, they're not like, there's no extra sugar other than what is from like the fruit juice. But it even tells you on the can, like, how many fruits went into this can. Like,
oh, man.
There's one that's like the pineapple one. That one's pretty good.
Like a fruit death count on there?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
like 53 strawberries died for this drink. It's going to be delicious. Yeah. Savor every drop. You know? Yeah.
Bro, I never thought of it that way, but exactly. Yeah, they got the fruit death count on there. Oh, man. Yeah. Yep. Like, well, those naked bottles, it tells you, like, the naked juice, whatever. Yeah. It tells you how many fruits died for this bottle of juice. It's kind of like that plus carbonated water. And those are really good. Also, another one is really good. It has no juice in it, but Zevia. I really like Zevias. Like, they have their own version. It's just, like, carbonated water, stevia, and then, like, whatever flavoring it is. But they have... like their cream soda was really good. And then if you're doing keto, you can add like some heavy whipping cream to it. And it's like an Italian cream soda thing. And that's really good. They have one called Creamy Root Beer. That's really good too.
I like root beer, but like adding like heavy whipping cream, that just, you lost me there, you know?
You got to try. Do you like Italian cream sodas?
I mean, I had cream soda before, but I mean... I don't know. I don't know if it was Italian, if it was German, if it was, you know, I don't know. I don't know where it hailed from, but I've had.
Italian cream soda is like flavored carbonated water plus like cream.
Okay.
You just add like a splash to it. And it kind of reminds you like if it's, you know, sweet, it kind of reminds you of like melted ice cream plus carbonation.
Oh, that sounds cool. Okay. All right. Yeah. You're talking to somebody who used to love root beer floats. So
if you like root beer floats, you'll like an Italian cream soda.
Okay. All right. That's cool.
Bro, what do you think is in ice cream? What do you mean that threw you off? What do you think is in ice cream?
No, I get ice cream. Like I'm gonna eat ice cream with a spoon. But if I'm drinking something, I don't wanna have to like, you know, make an effort to drink a thick drink, you know?
You ain't making that. It's not like you have to suck extra hard on a straw.
Like,
it's not like,
like if you ever got a milkshake involved. I'm just picturing like if you get a milkshake and like wherever you buy it from, they give you the super skinny straw and you're like, is this a joke? This is like this isn't gonna work.
No.
Okay. All right. No. Well, hey, bro, man.
Since we're off topic anyway, have you seen that advertisement, that skit on YouTube called Chunky Milk?
No.
Oh, bro. Next time you want to just like cringe at your phone or computer, look up Chunky Milk. And bro, it is painful. It's like, you know, those like Got Milk advertisements?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. It's like chunky milk advertisements, and it's just like all these people chewing on their milk, and it's I'm freaking myself out.
Like, for what purpose?
Just to mess with people. That's, that was it.
Like, ew. Dude, I don't want to see that.
Like, okay, picture somebody with, like, the milk mustache, like, got milk thing. Yeah. And then, like, chunks on their milk mustache.
Oh, gross. So, I used to drink milk when I was younger. I don't really drink it anymore, but... Yeah. And I remember I used to go, and like when nobody was around, I would go in there and I'd drink out of the carton, right? Like in the fridge, all ice cold. Uh-huh. I'd come in from like, I don't know, freaking playing outside or whatever. And I remember one time I go and I start chugging, and like it was cold. So I was drinking it and I didn't realize that I'm like, I practically needed to chew that milk. And dude, since then, I don't know, just don't dig it. It was disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Like, I love milk. I absolutely love milk. I could drink a whole gallon of milk easily. Not even an issue. I love milk.
Bro, that...
Like, when I do, like, carnivore diet, any diet that does not include milk is not a diet for me. Like, I don't care if milk is the cause of my allergies. I'll still drink milk.
Yeah, like... Like, what is it called? That natural milk, right from the cow.
what? Whole milk or raw milk?
Yeah, raw milk. Like raw milk, I do fine on, and it tastes good, and I don't get messed up. The other milk, man, I got bubbles in my stomach. You know what I mean? Like I'm not doing good on regular milk. But
yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, bring us all the way back around.
Yep.
Yeah. There's no smooth tie-in back to this, but
yep, so we're just gonna get right back into it.
Yep. So hope everybody enjoyed that. Yep. But so on the flip side of talking to people and just kind of like being ready to give a good answer on why our walk is the way it is, you know, because we have to be prepared in that way. There's right. also being, and I'll just say overzealous in a negative way, because a zeal for Yah and his word and for our Messiah is wonderful. And it's not a bad thing at all, but in presentation, being overzealous, and they just overload. Like, you know, there's a difference between planting seeds and then, you know, backing the dump truck up and dumping like, you know, 2 tons of seeds on somebody and they can't breathe, you know,
which was my first experience. Like whenever my first known experience, I should say, because my first like actual experience was somebody who is like super gentle. I just knew he lived differently than the rest of the people I knew. But my first known experience was like literally drinking from a waterfall. And it was like, dude, I wasn't able to keep up. I wouldn't even know. Like, it was just scripture after scripture after scripture with not necessarily like anything tied together. It was just like, as far as I knew, it was just like a bunch of random scripture that they threw together. And I wasn't able to keep up necessarily. That was my first known experience with it. Yeah. And honestly, with that first known experience, I was like, I like these people. I like what they do, but I don't know that they're correct when it comes to scripture. And then like later on down the road, I met actually one of the people. He was our first, interview as far as like testimonies go, meeting him in person. He was super slow, super methodical, gentle, was actually making sure I made the connection between different scriptures. And then also like getting in the truck with you, I would say you two were the perfect embodiment of that Colossians verse we read earlier, where you guys were like gentle and kind and were like patient. More than anything, patient with me when it came to like realizing this path and stuff. like neither one of you were like, hey, you better hurry up and accept this or you're going to get tossed in the lake of fire. Neither one of you were ever like that. But you guys were patient and like allowed the plant to grow. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you were throwing out seeds and you're like, gave it a couple hours and you're like, crap, well, this seed didn't germinate. Let's throw this away and try something new.
Yeah, well, praise yeah, man. And, you know, it's awesome how he guides and connects his people. And yeah, that other guy you're talking about, he's got wonderful fruits. I really enjoy his company. He's a really cool guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. Yeah. Too bad y'all don't get to know him.
Yeah, it's a mystery. But you know, like me coming into the walk was totally different. Like it was odd. I was just in isolation. And I was just praying, asking a ton of questions, like thinking that I guess going the wrong way with things. Cause I was kind of leaving the mindset of mainstream church. Cause I was like, if there's not a real truth out there, I was like, I'm leaving the whole thing altogether. You know, I was like, cause it just nothing made sense. And then anyways, long story short, I get into like, you know, going through the scripture and seeing a totally different view, you know, my eyes were open to it. And then I was like, I wonder if there's like a bunch more people, you know, who are thinking the same way. And I was like, am I just like totally off? And next thing I know, like I start to look and I find, you know, I find other people in this walk is very interesting.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Yeah. And like many people, like my, I guess, path into this, from what I've experienced, is not the typical path. Like almost everybody I know who's gotten into this has had like a drastic change in their life in order. I guess I have, but it wasn't like, I don't know. It didn't seem directly for this. Had I not moved to the state I'm in now, I don't think I would have ever found this path or, you know, started following Torah or anything like that. But it was not nearly as dramatic as yours or the guy we were talking about previously or some of the other people that I know. Like some of the other people I know have had literally their whole life upturned and changed before finding this path. And I've always been like grateful and also slightly guilty over that. Like I haven't had to go through near the hardship that a lot of these people have had to go through just to follow this path and everything.
I wouldn't at all feel guilty. You know, like from my perspective on myself, I needed it. If I didn't have that upset, then I think, you know, I would have had too much, you know, call it whatever you will, pride or ego or, you know, stiff-neckedness or whatever you want to call it. I had to be broken so I could accept the truth. You know what I mean? I think that there's just, and that was because of my faults, you know? So I wouldn't at all have guilt about anything like that. I would say that it is quite a blessing. And like the book of Sirach, the wisdom of Sirach, chapter 2 starts out. He says, you know, my son, if you come to serve Yahuwah, prepare your soul for temptation, you know? And
yeah,
the only reason I say that is because we never know what tomorrow holds. And of course, brother, like I'm not speaking anything over you or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like Yah is going to test, or he will allow us to be tested and tried and refined and to the degree we need to be, you know what I mean? Like a willing servant doesn't need to be corrected as much as one that's, you know, kicking around the stall, if we want to go to kind of an animal metaphor there. But, anyways,
or horses.
Yeah.
Some horses take more to break than others.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And all I'm saying is, and I'm not saying like bad things are going to happen in your life, nothing like that. All I'm saying is like, we will all still go through different trials and testings. You know, that is just part of this walk. But that being said, it's wonderful that Yah's put us together to help each other stand up in the midst of it. Like, you're doing that for me right now. You know what I mean? And I'm very grateful. And I praise Yah. But yeah. So anyways, don't be a Torah T word. I don't want to say the full, you know, T word.
Okay. Yeah. It took me a second. I was like, sorry. What derogatory term is the T word?
Yeah. Gotcha. T word. That's definitely a catch all on this platform, but
I think it would be fine. I think I don't be know, fine dude. With saying that just well, given like the news sources that, cause
let's just yeah,
given
clues.
The news sources that use that word.
Yeah, okay. But we're not them, you know, we're not being ran by one conglomerate of evil people.
funded by, no, I'm playing.
Yeah. But no, you know, like the T word,
people are thinking you're talking about trans people.
No, I'm not. Not at all.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
I was about to say something that I can't say.
Some people call them freedom fighters.
There was an event in 2001 that happened. And the T word people got blamed for something that somebody else did.
Okay. Fair enough. Oh, hold on. Now we're definitely list.
Yeah. Wait, I thought that was common knowledge.
If you have common sense, it's common knowledge.
Oh, my bad.
Oh, man. One aspect we didn't... Oh, go ahead. My bad.
No, go for it. Go.
One aspect we didn't necessarily cover. So far we've been talking about people who are, let's say, like in mainstream church, right? We didn't really cover how to approach this somebody who doesn't believe at all, or they're in a different religion. Because so far, most of my interactions have been with people who would call themselves Christians. Like, they would say, like, yeah, I believe in Jesus, and I believe in God, and they're the same thing, and stuff like that. That's who my experience has been so far. It hasn't been, like, the atheist or the Buddhist or the Catholic, or I'll call them something different. Like, I wouldn't say Catholics and Christians are necessarily the same thing.
No, they're not. I mean, but
we're Muslim.
So here's an interesting thing, okay, is like the one thing I've noticed, and I haven't had the opportunity to talk to a ton of people from diverse faiths, you know, but people without faith altogether, I've noticed they are much more receptive to the truth because they don't have that cognitive dissonance they have to break through. You know, they are much more receptive in general to like this wonderful walk and promise, you know, this hope for a resurrection. You know, it's much better than what they had previously thought, that we just, you know, we do this and it's over. But I have had a conversation with one dude who was like, I don't know if he was really into Islam, but he was like studying the Quran a ton. And he was trying to disprove like Christianity, you know, the Messiah and all that. Mm-hmm. And anyways, all the arguments he was using was trying to point out hypocrisies. And the whole time I'm telling him, like, yeah, I agree with those hypocrisies you're saying. That's what the mainstream church does. I was like, but what I'm telling you is not that. Like, there is no hypocrisy when scripture is, you know, understood as one congruent story. So, you know, you go to a mainstream church and you can do that all day long with the different teachings and everything. And not to mention, even just if you're in a discussion with people Islam, like, you just look at the historical, you know, the historical things, like how it came about, who propped it up, things like that.
Yeah, I would say, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I would say, like, it's almost like, man, I might get some hate for this, but it seems like Muslims are almost closer to the truth than the mainstream Christians are, because at least they might not be following the correct law, but at least they understand that there is a law in place versus the full-blown lawless mainstream Christian church.
Right. Yeah. I think they're, so one thing I noticed in Afghanistan, and it always stood out to me, and I envied it. I did. I wanted that interaction that they had. I'm not saying I wanted to convert to Islam, but I wanted the interaction that, you know, that they were putting forward is their dedication, you know, their dedication to
That's
prayer.
A fact.
And I was,
That's a
I
fact.
Was, yeah, I would see it and I would just be like, wow, this is, you know, this is impactful. And it, what's interesting too, is, you know, you have the call to prayer in the morning and the evening, just like in the Torah, you have, you know, the morning and evening sacrifices. There are many things that are, I would say, in line, but then there's many that are not, you know? So it's not like, I'm not promoting it by any means, but they do have a lot of truth in what they do, you know, but we know that with anything, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, you know? So, right. I mean, that's, yeah. As far as lawlessness goes, like, even Christians outside of the U.S., I've watched testimonies of people who have come from other countries and they're like, yeah, I thought when I left this, like, poverty stricken country I came from and got to the U.S., this is like the pinnacle of Christianity. It's going to be so great. He's like, and then I get here and everybody in the church is drinking and fornicating and, like, just going crazy. And that's the thing, is they even adhere to these teachings in Christianity outside of this country. And I'm not saying that there's not lawless Christians all over the world. There is, but as a whole, like, the U.S. has really just let the guard down and just welcomed in all sorts of sin. I mean, that's the truth.
Yeah. Like, when I lived in Australia, I lived on a Muslim farm. And you know, one thing you can say about the Slims is that if you spend a day with one of them, you know, by the end of the day that they're Muslim. There are plenty of, like, mainstream Christians. You spend a whole day with them, and at the end of the day, they tell you they're Christian, and you can be completely shocked.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. That is a really good point.
Yeah.
I remember,
like,
oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, I remember, like, I was sleeping in my tent at the farm, and this farm was in cooperation with this aid group called Muslim Aid, and they had this like week long like get together at the farm, basically, where they, like, farm fresh food, and it was like a end of year thing for them and stuff like that, when actually it was the end of year thing during the Christian, like, Christmas break and stuff. And they're like, well, we don't celebrate, you know, Christmas or anything, but they just use it as an opportunity, like, we're off work anyway, let's get together, let's have, like, a little celebration. And I remember that call to prayer at 5 o'clock, and that first time they started yelling on the megaphone, and I'm like, what the heck? Like, are we under attack? What is going on right now?
Dude.
I'm in Australia. I ain't got any guns. I've been killing snakes this whole time. What is happening?
I remember that, like, the first few weeks on deployment, I was like, total culture shock, more so than any other country I'd been in. Because of that aspect right there. And it's interesting too, sitting back and just thinking about everybody doing the same thing at the same time. You know, that dedication is what the lesson I learned, right? I'm not talking about theology or anything like that from them, but just the dedication.
And the support that they get from each other. Like, even when it comes to, like, businesses and stuff. Like, if you look at, like a Muslim community in the United States, like, money exchanges between them, like, anywhere between, like, 7 to 11 times before it ever leaves the community. And that's one thing, like, you don't see with... I mean, you can say the same thing with, like, Jewish people, too. Like, the money will exchange, like, 7 to 11 times before ever leaving that community. And you don't necessarily see that kind of support when it comes to, like, Christian groups. Like, a lot of Christians will go with whatever's cheaper or whatever's more convenient and stuff instead of going out of their way to... Like, a lot of these people will go out of their way to support somebody who believes similarly to them. And I think that's one thing that we can definitely take note from is, like, hey, you have a roofing... Let's say you have a roofing business. And he doesn't. If you're trying to find out our identities, if you look up roofing, you're never going to find them.
Oh, maybe but, I do. Maybe I do. I don't know.
Or maybe he does. But if you had, like, a roofing business, like, your roofing business might be more expensive... But I know that there's a set of principles that come with your roofing business that might not come with the cheaper roofing business down the road that might be even closer. Like,
sure.
And if nothing else, I should also view it as an opportunity to support a brother or support a family within the same group and everything. Now, I think that can be taken a little too far at times in like an elitist type mindset. Cause that is one thing I noticed on the Muslim farm was like the adults were better at hiding it, but the kids, like if you weren't Muslim, like they straight up treated you like crap.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that is one thing I did notice.
Yeah. I think a big issue. And that's the thing is it's not elitism, right? Like if we know our place in this world, but we also know our place in the next world in this walk. And our place in this world, all we need to do is seek peace with one another. You know what I mean? Like, and I agree with you, like, yeah, if we could support each other, that's awesome, you know, but it's also not a bad thing. If you go out onto the open market, like we are in dispersion, you know what I mean? We're not 100%. In the land that our forefathers sojourned knowing that this would come from Yah, not on the ground here. But yeah, anyways, I remember a time in Afghanistan. It was like an Afghan police, like sergeant, maybe something like that. We called him Fat. What was his name? Oh, we called him Fat Sergeant is what we called him. Yeah.
We called him Fat.
I couldn't remember. I was like, what was his name? I was like, oh, yeah, we didn't know his name. We just called him Fat Sergeant. But, yeah, this dude ended up being the real deal, though. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I'll save the details. It's kind of a little brutal for this. But anyways, long story short, I remember one day, like I think we got back off mission or something. It was just some silly, like, you know, presence patrol, like joint patrol thing. And we get back and like, you know, they're cooking up the food. And I remember like, he came up to me and he's like, are you Christian? And at the time I was like, yeah, man, I am. Not that I was even following anything that I should, but, and he's like, you know, your religion's fake and mine's real. Like he was like, ooh. So serious. And I was like super offended. You know what I mean? And at the time, like I had no, you know, I did not act right, but I remember we got into a little argument about it, but it was all good. Then we just ate some freshly slaughtered, you know, goat and this little okra dish they make, which is so good. But
yeah, okra grows well in the desert. That's a fact.
Anyways,
that's why everybody around here, like here in Texas, everybody here has like okra in their garden just to make their garden look good because it survives under extreme neglect.
Keep a little green in there.
Yep.
Man. I'll tell you what, though, like, so in general, like, you know, the conversation's always going to shift. You know, you're always going to have to adapt to whatever's in front of you. That's why Paul says, like, to the Greeks, I was a Greek, you know, to like, to the Jews, I was a Jew. Like, he met them where they were at. I don't think that he was being deceptive or anything like that, which I know a lot of people, I've heard a lot of people say these kind of things. He wasn't being deceptive and sneaking in, but he was meeting them where they were at. He was interacting with them on known cultural things, you know? And I think that there's a lesson to learn from that, but there's also like a, you know, we have to use caution, not going too far as experiencing any of their cultural things that would have us transgress Yahuwah, you know, like anything with idols or other right. Elohim and stuff. But, mm-hmm. well, and there's many more things, but anyways, kindness, meekness, but an abundance of patience, you know,
you have to make yourself relatable too. Because they're not going right. to convert to something that's completely foreign to them. Like, you have to, I mean, not just like without making some sort of connection, or at least not making like an effort to, you know, try to get to know where they are. I mean, there's a reason, I think, that Yeshua came down to experience like, or he was sent down in like in a human body. So he could better relate and understand what it is to be human and to be tempted, and like yeah. understanding our temptations and understanding exactly what it means to be like a man growing up in this lawless world and everything. He completely understands like our temptations because of that. Now, I'm not saying that he couldn't have understood before that or without doing that. It's just.
Well, let me
have a high priest that understands.
You nailed it. So Hebrews chapter 4, starting at verse 14.
Oh, let me pull that up. Let me pull that up.
Okay.
Sorry.
No. You're good. You're good.
You said Hebrews 14.
Chapter four.
Oh, there's not even a 14. Okay.
Yeah.
Where are we?
Yeah.
Verse what?
Verse 14.
Okay, that's where the 14 came. Okay, gotcha.
So it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Yahusha, the son of Elohim, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who was tried in all respects as we are, apart from sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of favor in order to receive compassion, and find favor for timely help. And right there is, I think, is a quick 3-verse summary on why one of the greatest reasons why he had to walk as a man, you know.
Yeah.
So that he would be able to sympathize with us in our weakness and therefore be able to rightly rule us based on the reality of everything. He wouldn't be at this exalted state not understanding how we're feeling and, you know, like all that.
I mean, Hasatan offered him like the whole world, like every kingdom in this world. Like, he's been tempted more than we ever have. I haven't even been offered the mayorship of this small town of Texas. You know what I mean? Like,
well, you know,
he's been tempted far more than we have.
Never say never.
Well, if they offer me, not Hasatan necessarily, but if I'm offered the mayorship of this small town in Texas, I'm taking it and some things are changing.
Yeah. Everybody's getting ice cream on Thursdays. Yeah.
Mandatory.
I'll be the mandatory. Funniest.
Mandatory.
This would be the funnest town to live in. It's like, all right, ice cream party. You know,
we're hitting the news. That's a fact. Yeah. We're hitting world news immediately.
Hey, pull up Esort again real quick and go to Hebrews chapter 2.
Hebrews.
And then down to 17.
Okay. Here we go.
All right. It says, so in every way he had to be made like his brothers, in order to become a compassionate and trustworthy high priest in matters related to Elohim, to make atonement for the sins of the people. For in what he had suffered, himself being tried, he is able to help those who are tried. So, you know, again, it's just nailing the topic of what you brought up, like on why, you know, the big why. And this is it. Like, that's how much Yah loves us. He wants us to be able to operate with a proper high priest, you know, that's without weakness, but understands ours.
Absolutely. Sorry, y'all, if you heard a baby crying in the background. I got the baby monitor in here with me. Everything's good to go now. Just apologizing for the distraction. But yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What?
Yeah, I was just thinking it'd be so funny if through that you hear poop. Poop, poop, you know, like.
So yeah, my baby's she's learning to like talk and everything. She's been like putting it off forever, and now all of a sudden she's wanting to say everything all at once. But one of the words that her uncle Nobody has taught her was poop.
Oh, don't put
she
that
loves
on me.
Saying the word.
Oh, I love when she says it. I think it's hilarious.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's adorable, and it's just yeah. But she also says up like all the time. Every time, like, okay. So when we were out of town recently, we were doing like a basically like a camping type trip. And every morning she would say up, up. And that was because she wanted up and out of the like immediately out of the tent, so she could go run around and play with the knife or not the knives. I'm looking at a knife. That's what I said. Rocks, sticks, dirt, all that stuff. She was immediately just saying up, but up is probably her favorite word. And the way she says it just cracks me up. Like, up, you peasant. Like,
yeah. That's I got stuff to do.
You don't know I got a mission.
Daylight's burning, let's go.
That's exactly how she says it, like up with the hard P.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, yeah, so I guess on, you know, on this topic, it's just a fun conversation, but it's important too. And, you know, we don't know what we're going to come across or who we'll come across or what state they'll be in. You know, we have to be ready to comfort those who are mourning or in pain to, you know, I mean, it's just showing the fruits of the Ruach, I believe is just as powerful as speaking the actual words, you know, like,
yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head right there that like, it's not necessarily like sometimes your behavior and your demeanor says more than anything that you could verbally say. Like,
yeah,
what is it? Like 70% of our communication is nonverbal, something like that.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Like, and I'm just thinking of like that first interaction I've had with like a guy that was Torah observant. It's like he was an awesome, like, representation. I mean, I knew there was, without him ever saying it, I knew there was something, I guess I can take this scripture off the screen. I knew that there was something different about the way he lived and the way he carried himself than everybody else I knew, without him ever saying that, like, oh, yeah, I follow Torah, or, oh, I'm a Christian, and stuff like that. And in fact, he never called himself any of that. He just was doing his thing, and yeah, he's just an awesome guy.
Well, and you look at it, like, if anybody's struggling with any of these aspects, right, the fruits of the Ruach, pray about it. You know, I've had to do it. There's no shame in seeking the Father and confessing our weaknesses to him or our shortcomings. He will not shame you for that. He will answer you. And he'll instruct you and guide you into it. You know, the biggest thing is like having your actual heart changed, and he'll send you through that process for sure. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, on that note, you got anything else to add, Nobody?
Yeah, everybody subscribe so we can start live streaming. Come on. Come on.
See, what you guys may or may not know is that Nobody goes through the YouTube live sessions and goes to battle against these witches and warlocks doing the like the tarot card readings or like any of it, really.
It fires me up. It fires me right up. And I want to get on there and go live. And not only just, you know, I want to be able to interact with people and like field like questions on the spot, you know?
Absolutely.
Or even ask questions. I mean, have these discussions. And anyways, subscribe. All right, everybody, please look. You don't even have to like us. Subscribe. And then when we're live, come on there and tell us, I subscribe so I could tell you I don't like you. That's fine.
Yep. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do that.
I'll say, join the club.
Step in line.
Yeah.
In fact, actually, the people who don't like you will watch more than the people who do like you. It's a weird phenomenon that goes on with YouTube. But like, for some reason, people like watching people they don't like so they can continue not liking that person. It's weird. It's a weird phenomenon.
Well, while you're not liking us, or even if you do, take your finger that's probably sticky from whatever treats you're eating while you're watching this episode and just hit the subscribe button. You know, I don't even care if you put on notifications, just hit the subscribe button.
Yeah. Yeah. Hit the subscribe button. Tell your friends about us. Or your hate group, whatever it might be. Tell your friends about us. And remember, if you want to sign up to give your testimony completely anonymously, then shoot us an email at exiledstrangers@proton.me. That's exiledstrangers@proton.me. And if you have any questions or if you have like specific podcast topics you'd like us to cover or go in more depth about, or if there's something that we've said that you'd like us to go in, into more depth about, then please let us know in the comment section or in via email, whatever you want to do. If it's longer form, then shoot us an email. Just, you know, it's easier to go through and dissect and read on email than it is in the comment sections. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Until next time, we'll see ya.